quickly in your Bibles is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So it's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. May God bless to us that reading from his word. I can see you clearly, can't see the words. Or I can see the words and I can't see you. It all depends on how I'm feeling as to which glasses I'm going to put on. But I'm going to have to make a confession to you. This is not the first time I've preached this sermon. And there's been something happening with it. So I preached this sermon at North Baddersley and I preached this sermon last week at Blackfield. And whilst I was preaching at Blackfield, I felt God very firmly say to me, "You need to preach this to Lyndhurst." Now, that might have just set this up to be a complete fail. It might be now that you all go, "Yeah, well, why did he tell you to do that? Because really there's nothing in that for us, Paul." But do you know what? Give me 20 minutes and we'll see how we get on. Now, because I preach without notes, no sermon is ever the same, so I do tend to make them a little bit more contextual for where I am, so it's not completely the same sermon as well. But strap yourselves in and hold on. How many people have read that passage before or heard that passage before? I mean, I think that's pretty much everyone in the room, pretty much. It's the, "I will make you fishers of men, and no, I am not going to make you sing." The chorus, okay? But I want us to look at some slightly different aspects of it, because there are some things that have jumped out at me that really I've never looked at before. The first is that Jesus has an awful lot of guts, because he says to a group of fishermen that have been working all night, "Let me teach you how to fish." Can you imagine going into Simon's garage, for example, and saying, "Come on, mate, it's the carburetor"? Can you imagine the response you might get from Simon? It would be very loving, I'm sure. Yeah, and caring. Or, "Don't tell me how to do my job." It might be that you walk up to a builder and say, "Oh no, what you want to do is this," but that isn't, you know, you don't do that to experts, do you? And these are fishermen, and they don't need to be told where to find fish. It's what they do for fun, okay? But Jesus says, just go out into deep water. And I don't know whether we've translated this out, Simon's response, or whether we've made it slightly politer. But it says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." "I'll go where you call me to go, even though I'm the expert and you're not." Does that sound a little bit like our lives? You know, maybe when God breaks into our lives and says stuff to us, maybe we think we're a bit of an expert. How many times have we said to God in our lives, "Yeah, but that's not going to work"? I can come up with all sorts of reasons why that's not going to work, God. And sometimes we say, "Because you say so, I'll do it." But a lot of the time we say, "It can't be God speaking to me, because that sounds ridiculous." When I was called into ministry for about 10 years before I actually gave up and followed the call, I had people saying to me, "You ought to become a minister." And I'm saying, "No, I don't want to become a minister. It's what my dad does, and I know all the pitfalls, and I don't want to do it, and God can't possibly be talking to me, and don't be so silly." And spent 10 years saying no to God. Thankfully, he's persistent. You may not agree, but thankfully, he's persistent. And he says, "Yeah, but I want you to do it." And eventually, when you do say yes to God, good things happen. But you've got to be willing to take the risk. And you've got to be willing to put yourself at the bottom and or at the back of everything and go, "Do you know what? My ego needs to sit down, and I just maybe need to listen to someone else who might just have a little bit more insight than me." It's a bit like when we're children. We know absolutely everything. My favorite quote about teenagers is from Mark Twain. It says, "When I was 18, my father was the most ignorant, stupid man on the planet. And when I was 21, I was amazed at how much he'd learned in 3 years." Feel a bit like that's how we can be with God. I'm amazed at how much God might have worked out, because I knew everything to start off with. But what does Jesus say to them? Where are they at the moment? They're on the shore. Jesus has got in a boat, he's rowed out a little bit, and then he's come back again, and they're on the shore, and they've worked really hard all night. And where does Jesus tell them to go? To deep water. Did you know it's harder to catch fish in deep water? Just because of space, really. There is more space for the fish to avoid your net. It is harder to catch fish in deep water. But what fish do you catch in deep water? Big ones. You catch big fish in deep water. You don't catch minnows in deep water. You catch big fish. You catch minnows hanging around on the shore in a rock pool. And you go, "Oh, look, I've caught one." And there are different ways that you fish. I'll just share this with you. I went on holiday with some friends from university. We went on the Broads. And kids standing at the side of the road, or the side of the river, with a great big lead weight, and he's spinning it round and chucking it into the river. And we're like, "What's he trying to do? Club the fish to death." I mean, "What's going on?" So he's doing this. And my friend was very, very posh. And she went, "Excuse me, can you tell me what you're doing?" I was like, "Oh, this isn't going to go well." And he looked at her and he went, "Hiking." "Oh, really?" "No idea." "What do you catch with that then?" And he just went, "Pike." "Duh." It was brilliant. But there are different ways that we catch fish. But you're only going to get things with using the right tools and in the right place. Do you want a big catch? You've got to go into deep water. The next thing that happens is that the catch is so big, so big, that they need to ask for help or they're going to drown. They call over to their friends. Well, I don't know if it says friends. They call over to James and John, who are in the other boat. Now, we assume they're friends. They could be rivals. But they call over to James and John, who are in another boat, going, "We need your help. Otherwise, this is going to capsize us. This is so big." And James and John row over, and they begin to help them. And there is so much that James and John's boat begins to sink under the weight of the fish as well. This is a big catch. They've taken a huge risk, and now they've got a huge catch. Essentially, they've just become millionaires. What, sorry? They've fulfilled their fishing quota, and then the EU will come in and tell them they can't take any of it. So they've fulfilled everything. So the first challenge to us, I think, is that we've got to be prepared to take the risk and to go where God calls us. And it might be deep water, and it might be dangerous, and it might look like we're all sat there going, "What is God on? Why would we go there? That's going to be difficult." Yeah, it is. That's okay. Because we're going to actually follow the one who knows what they're doing. But are we prepared to take the risk? That's the first question. We can catch some minnows on the shore, or we can take a risk and see what happens with where God sends us. Because he will provide for us, he will care for us, he will look after us. And even though it's a risk, it's a step of faith, it's one where when we step out in faith, he will reward that. So where is God calling us to? Our verse of the year is, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." It seems to me that God is trying to say something to the church through this year of, "I want you to start taking some risks. I want you to step out in faith. I want you to stop saying that's impossible, and I want you to start saying that's possible. I want you to stop saying, yeah, but, and instead say, how do we make it happen?" So I must say, and only one of the people that did this is in the room, but just before, and I think we have a culture of this within the church is what I'm going to say, but just before we opened after the first lockdown, I asked Pete, Avon and James to tell me why we couldn't open, okay? I sent them the regulations of what the government had said we could and couldn't do, and I said, "I need you to tell me why we can't open." Basically, so that I had a way of saying to everybody else, "This is why we can't do it." And they blew me away. Because what they said was not that we can't, it's just it's going to be difficult, and these are how we get over the challenges. I'm so proud of them because they said that. Because actually it was, yeah, well, there's a problem, but we can get around that. There's an issue, but we can solve it. That's not a problem. If we're here to keep our main focus on worshiping God and serving our community, then yeah, we need to be open. So this is how we make that work. Brilliant. What other issues do we have as a church? What other issues do we see in our community that we're sat there going, "Oh, this is impossible, we can't possibly sort this out"? Where actually we need to have that mindset of, well, yeah, there are issues, but here's how we get around them. Here's where we step out in faith and go to where God's calling us. Let's have big dreams, let's have big visions, let's really step out and say, "I'm going to take a risk, I'm going to go into deep water. Yeah, it's deep. It's going to be dangerous, and I might not get the massive reward I'm hoping for, but actually I might get an absolutely amazing one. But if God's called me to the deep water, I can almost guarantee there'll be a great reward." The second challenge to us, I think, is that actually we need to be prepared to ask for help. That's in our individual walks as Christians, but in our church walk as Christians. Imagine if James and John decided that they weren't going to help. They went, actually, no, we're busy over here. We don't care if you drown. What happens to the catch? It's lost. The catch is lost. Imagine if Peter and Andrew refused to ask James and John for help. What happens to the catch? The catch is lost. So we need to be prepared to ask for help when we need help. Do you know what? If this church is filled with people just piling through the doors, going, do you know what? I want to know about Jesus. And we've got to have the baptistry open for like days and days and days just to get people through. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask for some help. And I'm going to ask for some help from the people in the room. And I'm going to ask for some help from some churches nearby going, do you know what? We've got a really big issue and I can't possibly disciple all of these people all at once. Could you give me some people? Could you just give me an hour where you can sit with a person and walk them through the faith? Can you do that? Because actually that's what keeps the catch, is coming over and saying, here's the problem. How do we help? And also it's being prepared to offer help. You know, as a church, we've got loads of skills and gifts and resources. We need to be prepared to offer them to other people that are struggling. I can think of at least one church that could desperately do with some boosting and encouragement just by people turning up. It could do with some boosting and encouragement and knowing that they're not on their own. And it makes a big difference to know that you've got people alongside you. So where are the areas that we need to perhaps ask for help? I don't know all the answers. I know you're thinking, Paul, yes, you do. But I really don't. Honest. But it's difficult. Where are we prepared to ask for help? What are the areas in which we look at and we go, do you know what? We're really low here. Our skill base is really low here. Do we need to go on a course? Do we need to open some things up? Do we need to ask someone to come in and talk to us? Do we need an expert in for us to tell them that they're wrong? You know, what is it that we're doing? So are we prepared to take the catch and go out into deep water? Secondly, are we prepared to ask for help and offer help where it's needed? And thirdly, are we prepared to be assured that God will deal with it regardless of the risks? The thing I find absolutely beautiful about this passage is that he makes them financially stable. Have you noticed that? Because they've got this enormous catch, we know that at least Simon Peter is married because he's got a mother-in-law. So he makes them all financially sustainable and stable. And then he says, follow me. And because they've got enough, because God has dealt with the difficulties of life for them, they can follow and go where he calls them. Does that mean they're never going to have hardship ever again? No, of course it doesn't. But it does mean that they are dealt with. If God is calling us forward, this is an encouragement to us. If God is calling us forward to do something, we need to stop worrying about how it's going to work itself out. Now, one of the biggest reasons I hear, because I sit on the ministerial training committee at college, and get dumped on by our regional minister to talk to young ministers. A lot of people will say, well, I can't do it because. I can't give myself to God because, or I can't go where God's calling me to go because, and there's all these sorts of issues. When I went into ministry, I went from a relatively well-paid job into ministry, where I was being paid half a stipend. Okay? And at that point, half a stipend was about 7,000 a year. Okay? It's not a lot of money. £7,000 a year. We were living on Rachel's wages and my honorarium, to be perfectly honest. Well, no, we were living on my wages as well. It was difficult. And there were points where we didn't know where the money was coming from to pay the bills, but God provided. There would be people who, the number of times we got envelopes through the door with a gift from God written on them. Wow. Just happened to match the amount of money I needed to pay on a bill somewhere, but it was about God wasn't going to leave us once we'd taken that step. And he doesn't leave us as a church when we've taken those steps. Alan's not here, but he was saying to us the other day, when there's something special happening, it pays for itself. I found that fascinating. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when we do something like the walkthrough, I can almost guarantee you someone will give me a donation that covers the cost of the walkthrough. So I don't worry about the big things. What I worry about is keeping the lights on. But when God is asking us to do something, he provides for it. I might have shared this with you before, but when I was at college, my one of my tutors was saying to us about a church meeting that he was in, and he was a young minister, and they were discussing whether they ought to do something, and the church meeting was getting a little bit testy because the treasurer refused to answer the question that he was being asked by one particular person over and over again. Can we afford it? But can we afford it? And eventually, there's a special mechanism in which you can use. It's language that I didn't know until I went to Abbey. But Mr. Chairman, will you tell the treasurer that he must answer the question? Was essentially what was said. And so the young minister is kind of looking like a rabbit caught in the headlights of how do I deal with this? I'm about to have a row in the middle of church meeting, as if that ever happens, you know. The treasurer went, it's okay. The purpose of this meeting is to discern the mind of Christ as to whether we're supposed to do this. If we are supposed to do it, then God will provide the finances. If we are not supposed to do it, it's irrelevant as to whether we can afford it because we won't be doing it. So, can we focus on what we're here for? The point is, God will not leave us without the requirements that we need in order to go forward to do what he calls us to do. Be excited about the ideas that come into your head. Come and share them, because it could be God saying, I really want you to do this. Step out in faith. Take some risks, take some chances, go into deep water and proclaim the gospel. Jesus was prepared to take a massive risk, wasn't he? He goes to a cross. He's crucified. His friends turn their back on him. He's left completely alone. He even feels the forsakenness of God. But he does it so that other people can benefit. When Jesus provides for the disciples, by that miraculous catch. It's not so Peter, James, John, and Andrew can benefit. It's that their families can be looked after. But the gospel needs to be proclaimed. The good news needs to be told. And that's our job as a church. Our job as a church is to go into deep water, to ask for help when needed, but to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, who died for each and every one of us, to take away our sins, and to step out so that other people might be free, so that the kingdom might grow from this place outwards. You are never, ever in Christian life going to get all of your ducks in a row. And if you're waiting for all of your ducks to be in a row before you do anything, well, then you're going to die having missed a load of potential. Sometimes we just need to take a risk. To say, this is where I'm called to be, this is what I'm called to do, this is how we're called to be as a church, and we're just going to work it out as we go along. And I know that sounds messy, but life is. God doesn't give us the end point of the plan. He just gives us the next step. If my life of however many years has told me anything, God just gives us the next step. He doesn't tell me where I'm going to be in 10 years' time. He doesn't tell me how I need to sort everything out. He just says, will you do this? A few years ago, I'll close with this. But a few years ago, I had a moment where I was praying with God. And in fact, it was 2017, I can tell you that. And I was praying with God, and I was like, isn't it a shame that idea about breakfast clubs in schools was just ridiculed at the last election? This was in 2017. And God said, well, get on with it then. And so I came up with this idea that we would go into St. Michael's and we would provide breakfast for the entire school. That was my idea. Okay. And I thought, well, we'll test the idea by asking the head teacher, who will thankfully relieve me of that pain and go, don't be so ridiculous, you can't come in. So I went to go and visit a lovely lady called Tina, who was the head teacher at the time, and I said, Tina, this is what I'm thinking. And she said, brilliant, when do you want to do it? I thought, oh, good. Great. Now I've got to work it out. So then we went in and did our first breakfast in the school, and it went really well. I think there are ways that we could do it differently, but, you know, it went really well. And we've done it a few times since then. But because of that relationship, I then get at the end of, just after lockdown, I think 2020, I can't remember, but I get asked by Mr. Bowen, who's the head teacher now, would you be prepared to come in and run a breakfast club? Because our breakfast club's just walked out on us. Right. Could you do an after-school club as well? And I was like, I think that'd be asking a bit too much. And maybe you ought to ask the church over the road whether they would like to do that. But do you know what? So the breakfast club is run by the Baptists. The after-school club is run by the Anglicans. I spoke with Rosemary. I said, what do you think? And she said, can I pray about it? I said, no, of course you can't. How a ridiculous idea. But she did anyway. And she said, you know what, I think we can do it. And both Rosemary and I felt called to do that. And now we have a breakfast club in the school. And that has meant that we've been able to walk with children through that time. Have we converted all of them? No. But have we shown them love? hold it out there, just in case it is. So the point is that sometimes we just need to go and take the risk. Did Rosemary and I know what we were doing when we started? No. Do we know what we're doing now? No. Rosemary knows what we're doing, but I don't. And we do have all sorts of ideas about what we're going to do with them. And it's meant that we can grow relationships with the school, and it's meant that we've been able to support the school through difficult times. We've been able to support the teachers in different ways. It's meant that we've been a face within the community. Do I know the end result? No. But do I know that God's called us to do it? Yeah. And there are so many other things. It could be the penny fair, because that was part of the same conversation I had with God. I said to God, well, wouldn't it be great if we did this like community fair? But I don't think anyone would go with it, and how would it work anyway? Do you know what? Penny fair's amazing. And it's those sorts of things that have made such a big difference. By just us taking a few risks. And it's having people around you that can say, yes, I'll take that risk with you. I'll walk that walk with you. It was wonderful when we first, when I first went to Pete with the walkthrough. Because I said, this is kind of what I want. And Pete said, yeah, I can make that work. It's having the guts to step out into deep water and say yes to God. Perhaps not step out into deep water, maybe row out into deep water. To go out into deep water and say yes to God, because God puts himself in deep water through Christ and says yes for us. Let's